Okay, tonight, I'm going to preach on choosing the path. Okay, now the word path can also be the same as pathway. Pathway. And I tell you what, you'll hear lots, especially you students, you'll hear the word pathway a lot. Yeah, there's pathways. You'll find a pathway into your educational institution. They'll say, follow this and do this course. You'll find pathways and courses that you need to do to attain a certain level. You will find pathways that lead to careers. You'll hear about career paths. And that's the main use of the word, the entrance to places of study, the courses of study, and career paths that you will take. But there's many different ways that pathway is used. You know, there are pathways in the brain. There are pathways in business. There are pathways in medical terms. There are pathways in computer terms. So there's many, many uses of the word pathways. And it's all about making choices, okay? And making things effective. But I want to look at what the Bible says, okay? And the Bible basically talks about two paths. The Bible talks about paths that lead to life or the path that leads to destruction, all right? And I want to just take us through a passage of scripture tonight along these lines about choosing the right path. And it comes from the book of Proverbs, and it was written by Solomon. He was known for his wisdom. Okay, he wasn't perfect, of course, if you know his life story. He wasn't perfect, but he was chosen by God and he was given wisdom from God. And he now is imparting or passing on that wisdom to his children. And so in Proverbs chapter 4, he's saying basically, I've been a faithful father and I am continuing to be a faithful father. And this is what he's saying to his children. He says, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. So he's basically saying, not only have I taught you, but I've been an example. I'm leading you. And he didn't say, I've taught you how to be a good businessman. I haven't taught you to be successful in life through other things, but I have taught you the way of wisdom. And I tell you, if you have wisdom, then everything else will begin to fall in place. But he's saying, I've been a good father, not perfect, but a good father. I've taught you the way of wisdom, and I've led you in the right paths. So then he goes on in the next verse. He says, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered, okay? And when you run, you will not stumble. Why? Because of what he's taught them and what he's showed them. But he says this, take firm hold of instruction. In other words, what I'm teaching you, get a grip on it. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Now, many times in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is mentioned by a female gender, she, her, wisdom. Don't ask me why, but God did that, okay? That's what God did. So he's saying, if you follow my ways, then you will be safe. And he says, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you'll not stumble. Get a hold of what I'm saying. Hang on to wisdom, and you will have life. And then he says this about the path. He said, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. So he's basically saying, there's a path and there's a path. Remember we said there's two paths. He's saying, do not even enter. Don't even put your foot in there. Don't enter the path of the wicked. Don't put your foot there. Don't put your first step. Because when you put a first step, usually other steps follow and you begin to walk, okay? If it's a baby, yay, everyone's happy. But in this case, he's saying don't. Don't even put your first step. Don't even enter the path of the wicked. And don't walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. He's saying, don't go there. Don't go there. And there's a quote from a man named Plough. He says this, don't take the first step, for you may not be master of your destiny thereafter. In other words, consider when you're going to step or enter into something, be careful. You might think you're in control right now, but after that, you may not be. You may lose control. You may lose control. So don't take the first step. It can lead to walking and it'll take you even deeper. So don't go there. Why? Don't enter the path of the wicked. For they do not sleep unless they've done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. So these people who just love, they look for trouble. You know how sometimes you say, that guy's looking for trouble? He's looking for trouble. We saw someone actually at the supermarket today. It was a young girl. I tell you, she was looking for trouble. And she'll probably find it, sadly. She was just looking for trouble. But it says here, they don't sleep until they've done evil. In other words, they are committed. They're committed to doing bad things. They're committed to it, just like we committed to good things. They're committed to doing evil. They can't sleep. I've got to do something bad. I've got to do something wrong. You know how we can't sleep if you do something wrong? They're the opposite. They're the opposite. And he says, their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. He says, they're restless. They're looking for trouble. They're committed to it. They will sacrifice their sleep. They will sacrifice money. They will sacrifice freedom to do something bad. To do something bad. And you know, this is becoming more and more prevalent. When I was preparing this, I was thinking of something that I've read in the paper in the last few days that's very troubling. Last Sunday night when we went home, there was a bus stopped up on Caranup Road. And we saw somebody run off that. On the way to church, we saw somebody run off that bus. And I said, something bad has happened there. Well, it had. Two girls, 17, 18-year-old girls, had stabbed a 74-year-old man because he tried to stop an argument. Then the next day in the paper, I read that a 6-year-old girl had headbutted the principal and torn clumps of hair out of her head. Totally out of control. And then today, in today's paper, there's a story about a year two, probably 7-year-old kid, a boy, took a big knife to school and was threatening to stab some of his classmates. Now, I don't know why these people did it. I'm sure there was some pretty extenuating circumstances behind it. They're obviously troubled. But I'm telling you, they're on the wrong pathway. They're on the wrong pathway. And they probably haven't had good parents who are leading them and teaching them the way of wisdom. You know, they're looking for trouble. And then it says, they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. That's kind of an unusual statement. The wicked people, they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. What do you think that means? When you eat bread, it satisfies you. Drink the wine, satisfies them, it feeds them. Evil, seeking the harm of others, looking for trouble, looking to cause trouble. It's their bread. It's their wine. It feeds them. It satisfies it. They feed on it. Okay? This is Solomon telling his kids, watch out for that pathway. But he says, but the path of the just, the other way, the path of the just, the pathway that I'm on, kids, the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. In other words, I'm on the right track, and I want you guys to be on the right track with me. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They don't know what makes them stumble. So he's basically saying, for the just, for the righteous, for those who are following the Lord, things get brighter and better. Bright and light and better. But the way of the wicked is darkness. They don't even know. They are ignorant. They don't even know. They're confused. They don't even know why they're falling down. Why am I falling down? Because it's dark. Can't see. Don't know what's going on. They don't know what makes them stumble. So what's going on? Why are things so bad in my life? Why do I end up in jail? Why am I ending up in court? Why are the cops after me? What's going on? Why does everyone hate me? Why do I have such a bad name? Because you're on the wrong path. Okay? And then he says this, my son, give attention. So at first he's talking to his children, and then he says, my son. Which one is he talking to? Who knows? He says, my son, give attention to my words. You know, you can almost see him talking to his kids, and then one of the boys is just kind of staring blankly. Have you ever sat in class, pretended that you were listening, but your mind was a million miles away, or you're at work and someone's talking to you, and it's just like, la, 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 that you don't hear anything? He's saying, my son, give attention to my words, like pay attention. You look like you're listening, but you're not. That's what he's saying. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Like, listen, boy. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So he's talking about your ears. You know, in the next few verses, I think in the next seven verses, there's 11 mentions of body parts. And it's about the ears, the eyes, the heart. They're all connected. You know, what you hear and what you see will affect your heart. And it'll affect your feet, like where you go and what you do and how you walk your walk. So he's saying basically, listen, look, and keep the words in your heart. Keep the word of God, my words. Keep them in your heart. Why? Because they're life. They're life to those who find them. It's interesting that he says find. You've got to look for truth. You've got to look for it. You've got to want things. You've got to want the rich. You know, people are looking to be successful, looking to be rich. You know, how many people are looking for wisdom? How many people are looking for purity and holiness and honesty? He says they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. The words of God bring life and bring health. He says, keep your heart. So once you've found the truth, once you've found the wisdom of God, then keep it. Guard your heart. Don't just let things come in and then just deplete, forget it. He's saying guard it. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. You know, what's in your heart affects the way you think, the way you speak, the way you act. It affects everything. What's in your heart will come out. If there's good things in your heart, it'll spring out. If there's bad things in your heart, it's locked, it's blocked, it's hard. He's saying, guard your heart, and then good things will spring out. Life-giving things will spring out. Encouragement and love and care and good things. He's saying, keep your heart with all diligence. You know, we're really diligent to work hard, to save money, to find the best price for things. You know, we Google everything to get the best price. We're really diligent in a lot of things. But are we diligent in guarding our heart and keeping the word of God and keeping the things of God precious to us? That's what he's saying. And then he speaks about the mouth. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. So this boy must have, you know, had a problem with his mouth. He said, put away from you a deceitful mouth. In other words, be honest. Be honest. Don't trick people. Don't, you know, don't scam them. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Don't swear. Don't say dirty things. Don't say nasty things. Don't repeat dirty jokes. Okay? That kind of stuff. He's saying, put away perverse lips. Keep your mouth clean. Keep your mouth clean. And let your eyes, now he's talking about the eyes, let your eyes look straight ahead. And your eyelids look right before you. Why? Don't be distracted. Don't look at this. Don't look at that. Oh, that looks good. Maybe I'll just try it out. What could be the harm? You know, just test the waters. No, he's saying don't do that. Look straight ahead. Go straight ahead. Go the way of the Lord. Oh, like the horse. It's got blinkers on, blinders on. That's what he's meant. That keeps the horse looking straight ahead. Why? So that they can run the race. So that they're not distracted. So they can do the job that they're supposed to do. So they don't get spooked by what's around them. We need to be like that. Focused on the Lord. Not looking to the left or to the right or going this way or going that way, but full on straight ahead. Okay. And then he says this, ponder. Now he's talking about the feet. Ponder. Think about it. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Ponder, that means consider. Think about it. Think before you do something. Think before you speak. Sometimes we just blurt things out and then we regret it. You go, God, why did I say that? Oh, I feel so bad. Ponder the path of your feet. Think about it. Think about what you're going to do. Think about how you're going to do it. Think about who you're going to do things with. Sometimes you need to just say no. Sometimes we just got to say no, okay? That our ways would be established, all right? And the last verse, do not turn to the right or the left. That's again, he's saying it. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep going straight ahead. And what else? Remove your foot from evil. Don't put your foot there. Sometimes, have you ever been to the beach? You want to go in the water? And you go, ooh, I wonder if it's cold. Oh, it's so cold! You know? He's saying remove your foot. Don't even put your foot in there. Get your foot out of there. Get your foot out of there. Because if you leave it in long enough, you go, oh, it's not that bad. I think I'll go in. Ooh, yeah, it's not that bad. That's the way the enemy works. He'll pull us down the wrong way. And before you know it, you're in deeper than you realize. And sometimes you think there's no way out. And that's what a lot of people out there in the world are like. They feel like they're in so deep that they can't get out. They think there's no way out. They're on this path and they can't get off it. But there's hope. There's always hope. That's why we keep praying. That's why we keep reaching out. That's why we reach out to them. Thomas said this to the Lord Jesus, Lord, how can we know the way? How can we know the pathway? What's the way? And Jesus said, I am. I'm the way. I'm the path. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, there's the path of life and there's the path of destruction. Jesus said, I'm the way to go. And for all of us, we are on the right path. We need to keep on the right path. We need to guard our ears, guard our eyes, guard our hearts, and remove our foot from any place that we may be curious about that can just take us off track. Lord, we just thank you that even in this life, every day we have many paths that we have to choose. Which path will I choose? Will I choose faith or will I choose anxiety? Will I choose obedience or will I choose to disobey? Will I choose to give or will I choose to hold on to? Will I choose to be positive or negative? Will I choose to be lazy or diligent? There's all these pathways we can choose. There are many paths. But according to the great path that we're on, we will make decisions that will contribute to the quality of our life. Lord, we choose you. We choose the way. We choose the life. We choose the truth. Lord, help us to stay on track. Not to turn to the left or to the right. To hang on to the words, like Solomon passed on to his children. Lord, help us to be good parents, to be good friends, to be good brothers and sisters, and to pass the truth onto others, that they would go in the right direction, the way that leads to life. We bless you and thank you for your help. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay. Good night, everyone online. Anyone wants prayer? I want to pray with you. Otherwise, have an awesome week. I know some people need healing. I want to pray with you. God bless.